This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. Ruth Gordon's Favorite Story. Come along with us to a sleepy town on the Mississippi River. Saturday morning, and all the summer world is bright and fresh and brimming with life. There's a song in every heart, cheer in every face, and a spring in every step. The locust trees are in bloom, and the fragrance of blossoms fills the air. Cardiff Hill, beyond the village and above it, is green with vegetation, and is just far enough away to seem a delectable land, dreamy, reposeful, and inviting. That boy there, carrying the long-handled brush and the bucket of whitewash, that's Tom Sawyer. He surveys the fence, and all gladness leaves him. 30 yards of board fence 9 feet high. Hard labor imposed by Aunt Polly on this beautiful Saturday. A far-reaching continent of unwhitewashed fence. Soon the free boys will come tripping along on all sorts of exciting expeditions, and they'll make a world of fun of him for having to work. The very thought of it burns him like fire. At this dark and hopeless moment, an inspiration bursts upon him. Nothing less than a great, magnificent inspiration. He takes up his brush and goes to work as the first boy comes into sight.
Ting-a-ling-ling, shiver-a-back, center-a-back to starboard, chow-wow. You know what I am, Tom Sawyer? I'm the big Missouri, drawing 9 feet of water. Ting-a-ling-ling, let her go back on the larboard. Get out that headline. What are you about there? Ting-a-ling. Hey, you're up a stump, ain't you? You gotta work, hey, Tom? Why, it's you, Ben. I weren't noticing. Say, I'm going in a swimming, I am. Don't you wish you could? But of course you'd rather work, wouldn't you? Of course you would.
Well, what do you call work?
Why, ain't that work?
Well, maybe it is, maybe it ain't. All I know is it suits Tom Sawyer.
Oh, come now. You don't mean to let on that you like it.
Like it? Well, I don't see why I oughtn't to like it. Does a boy get a chance to whitewash a fence every day?
Yeah. Say, Tom, let me whitewash a little.
No. No, I reckon it wouldn't hardly do, Ben. You see, Aunt Polly's awful particular about this fence. Right here on the street, you know. It's got to be done very careful. Ah. Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, I reckon there ain't one boy in 1,000, maybe 2,000, that can do it the way it's got to be done.
No, is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on now. Let me just try. I'd let you if you was me, Tom.
Ben, I'd like to. Honest Injun. But if you was to tackle this fence and anything was to happen to it...
I'll give you the core of my apple.
Well... No, Ben. I'm afeard.
I'll give you the whole apple.
All right. But be careful.
Oh, golly. Like this? Oh, golly.
Mmm. Hey, this is a good apple. Oh, hello there, Huck Finn.
Hello yourself. Where'd you get the apple?
Oh, Ben here gave it to me for the privilege of whitewashing for a few minutes.
Well, what did he want to do that for?
It's lots of fun. He had to do some tall talking to convince me to let him.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, Tom, I'll give you a dead cat if you let me for a while.
Oh, what's a dead cat good for?
Good for? Cure warts with.
No. Is that so? I know something better.
I bet you don't. What is it?
Why, spunk water.
Oh, can't compare with the dead cat cure.
can if you say the proper words. Barleycorn, barleycorn, Injun meal shorts. Spunk water, swallow these warts. That's the way Joe Harper does. And he's been nearly to Coonsville and most everywhere. But say, how do you cure him with a dead cat, Huck?
Why, you take your cat and you go and get in the graveyard. Long about midnight,
uh-huh,
when somebody that was wicked has been buried. And when it's midnight, a devil will come. Or maybe two or three. But you can't see him. You can only hear something like the wind. And when they're taking that feller away, you heave your cat after him and say, devil follow corpse, cat follow devil, warts follow cat, I'm done with you. That'll fetch any wart.
Sounds right. Did you ever try it, Huck?
Oh, I'm going to try it tonight. I reckon they'll come after old Hoss Williams tonight.
Let me go with you?
Of course. If you ain't afeard.
Afeard? Tain't likely.
Well, Tom, the cat's yours if you let me whitewash.
Fine. And I'll meet you tonight outside the graveyard. All right, Ben. That's all you get to whitewash.
But, Tom, I...
Well, all you gimme was this measly old apple. Huck Finn here gimme a whole dead cat.
Just the wind.
Might be the spirits of the dead complaining of being disturbed.
There's the place. Come on, let's hide behind these trees.
Yeah. I don't much care for being in a graveyard.
It's awful solemn-like, ain't it?
I bet it is. Say, Hucky, do you reckon Hoss Williams hears us talking?
Of course he does. At least his spirit does.
I wish it said Mr. Williams. I never meant any harm. Everybody calls him Hoss.
Well, a body can't be too particular how they talk about these here dead people, Tom.
Shh.
What is it, Tom?
They're coming. The devil's three of them.
Well, what do we do?
I don't know. You think they'll see us?
Oh, devils can see in the dark, same as cats. Oh, I wish I hadn't come.
I don't believe they'll bother us. We ain't doing any harm. If we keep perfectly still, maybe they won't notice us at all.
Here's the place, man. Dig here.
Tom, they're humans.
No.
Yeah. One of them's old Muff Potter, and one of them's Injun Joe. I can't make out the other one.
Well, what can they be up to, digging like that?
Hurry, men. Right. The moon might come out at any moment.
It's young Dr. Robinson.
Hurry,
yeah,
please.
We're doing the best we know how, Sawbones. All right, Muff, stop digging.
What do you mean?
We'll finish this job of grave stealing for you when you out with another five.
That's the talk.
Now, look here. You required your pay in advance, and I've paid you.
Yes. And you've done more than that, Doctor. 5 years ago, you drove me away from your father's kitchen one night when I come to ask for something to eat. And you said I weren't there for any good. And when I swore I'd get even with you if it took 100 years, your father had me put in jail. Did you think I'd forget?
This is no time for argument.
Don't you make no fist at me.
Don't you hit my part, Doctor.
Put down your knife, Muff Potter. Put it down or I'll take this headboard to you.
That's fine talk.
Put it down! No.
The doc hit Muff over the head.
It was coming to him.
Injun Joe's grabbing Muff Potter's knife. He's going for the doc.
Get away. Get him.
Golly.
Muff. Hey, Muffy, get up.
Yes.
Something terrible happened.
What's happened, Joe?
Look. Yeah, the doc's dead. What did you do it for, Muff?
Huh? I never thought of it.
Look here, that kind of talk, it won't wash.
Tell me, Joe. Honest now, old fella. Did I do?
Yeah, you.
Oh, Joe, I never meant to. Upon my soul and honor, I never meant to, Joe. Tell me how it happened, Joe.
Why, you two were scuffling, and he fetched you one with a headboard, and you fell flat, and then up you come all really staggering-like, and you jab your knife into him.
I didn't know what I was doing, Joe. Wish him had died this minute if I did. You won't tell, will you, Joe? You won't tell.
No, I won't tell. Don't move now. I'll clean up the traces here. Move now, fast.
Oh, bless you, Joe. You're an angel.
The chicken-hearted Mr. Potter left his knife.
Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer swears they will keep mum about what they seen in the graveyard last night. And they wish they may drop down dead in their tracks if they ever tell. And rot.
I'll sign it in blood, Tom.
Of
Because if we ever tell, Injun Joe will come after us and cut our hearts out and our livers.
Signed by Tom Sawyer. In blood.
Likewise.
Huck! Huck! Huck, listen to me. We gotta say something. Injun Joe testified in court that old Muff Potter killed the doc. Ain't it right that we straighten it out?
You want your gizzard straightened out by Injun Joe?
I guess we better keep mum.
The prosecution will summarize. Your Honor, by the oath of a citizen whose simple word is above suspicion, the man called Injun Joe, we have fastened this awful crime beyond all possibility of question upon Muff Potter, the unhappy prisoner at the bar. We ask that he be taken and hanged by the neck until he is dead. We rest our case there.
The defense will summarize.
Your Honor, we have a surprise witness who wished to call to the stand. Mr. Thomas Sawyer. You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Say, I do, son.
I do.
Thomas Sawyer, where were you on the 17th of June about the hour of midnight?
In the graveyard.
Were you anywhere near Horace Williams' grave?
Yes, sir.
Speak up, son.
How near were you?
Near as I am to you.
Were you hidden or not?
I was hid.
Where?
Behind the elms at the edge of the grave.
And you saw the killing take place?
Yes, I seen him.
Was it this man, Muff Potter, who killed young Dr. Robinson?
No, it weren't.
Was it this man, Injun Joe?
Yes, it was.
Hey, Injun Joe's getting away.
Injun Joe, get away.
We're heading back to that sleepy little town on the Mississippi River to continue with the adventures of Tom Sawyer as reported by Mark Twain. This is the favorite story of Miss Ruth Gordon. Skip Hohmeyer is Tom, Jimmy Lydon is Huck, and Maestro Claude Sweeten is preparing to give us a Mississippi setting. Now, Tom Sawyer's life was a strange blend of exaltation and terror. Exaltation because he was in love. An angel with blue eyes and hair the color of corn silk had moved into town. An angel whose name was Becky Thatcher. And because she smiled on him, Tom's days were filled with splendor. But his nights were seasons of horror. Injun Joe infested all his dreams, and always with doom in his eye. Tom felt sure he could never draw a safe breath again until that man was dead. And he had seen the corpse. Alas, no Injun Joe was to be found, except in Tom's nightmares. But a boy's life moves on, and there comes a time in every boy's life when he is seized with a raging desire to go digging for hidden treasure. This Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn decided to do.
Where we dig?
Oh, most anywhere.
Why, is treasure hidden all around?
No, indeed it ain't. It's hidden mighty particular places, Huck. Mostly under the floor in haunted houses.
Well, who hides it?
Why, robbers, of course. Who'd you reckon? Sunday school superintendents?
Oh, I don't know. If it was mine, I wouldn't hide it. I'd spend it and have a good time.
Robbers don't do that way. Why, we might find a brass pot with $100 in it. Or a rotten chest full of diamonds. How's that?
Oh, just you give me the $100. I don't want no diamonds.
I ain't gonna throw away any of the diamonds. Some of them's worth $20 apiece. And there ain't any hardly ain't worth 6 bits or a dollar.
No.
I tell you what. You wrestle up a pick and I'll mosey around and find a shovel. And I'll meet you at the old haunted house. We're gonna be rich, Huck! Well, come on, Huck. What you hanging back for?
Oh, blame it. I don't like haunted houses, Tom.
Oh.
Well, they're a darn sight worse than dead people. Dead people might talk, maybe, but well, they don't come sliding around in a shroud when you ain't noticing and peep over your shoulder all of a sudden and grit their teeth the way a ghost does.
I couldn't stand such a thing as that, Tom. Nobody could.
In the daytime, Huck Finn, all ghosts get time off. To take a snooze, maybe. It's the rule.
Well, I don't know who made that rule. Of course, there's something moving inside the house.
Doc, quick! It's Injun Joe! Try not to breathe.
Well, Pat, where will we bury the swag?
Right here, in the haunted house.
Say, here's a loose stone. Give me a hand. There. Now, I'll just dig a bit with my knife. Hello?
What is it?
Half-rotten plank. No, it's a box. Here, bear a hand and we lift it out. Man, it's money.
Gold.
There's thousands of dollars here.
I always heard Murrell's gang was around here one summer.
This looks like it.
Now you won't need to do that job, Joe.
It's not money I want from that job. It's revenge.
What'll we do with the gold? Bury it here again?
No. No. A safer place. Number 2. Under the cross. Yeah. Grab hold and let's get moving.
Number 2. Under the cross.
Huck. Huck. Shh. Don't talk yet. They're liable to come back.
Gotta follow them to number 2. Under the cross.
We can't, Tom. You heard him talk about revenge. You know who he means, don't you?
Yeah. Us. Invitation to Mr. Thomas Sawyer to join the other children of the village in a picnic to be held Saturday near the entrance to McDougal's cave. Signed, Becky Thatcher. Golly.
Who's ready for the cave?
I am, Becky. Race the end.
Okay.
Careful, mustn't let your candle blow out.
I've got to stop running. I'm all out of breath.
Oh, it's a wonderful picnic, Becky.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, Tom.
Come on, I'll show you all the wonders of McDougal's cave. The drawing room, the cathedral, Aladdin's palace, all lots of places. Come on. There it is. All writ out on the side of the cave in candle smoke. Becky Thatcher, Tom Sawyer.
You shouldn't have put the heart. People will see it.
Oh, very few people come to this part of the cave.
It is awful quiet here. I didn't notice before, Tom, but it seems ever so long since I've heard any of the others.
Come to think of it, Becky, we are away down below them. I don't know how far away, north or south or east or whichever it is. We couldn't hear them here.
I wonder how long we've been down here, Tom. We better start back.
Yeah, I reckon we better. Perhaps we better.
Can you find the way, Tom? It's all a mixed up crookedness to me.
Reckon I can find it all right.
Well, I hope we won't get lost. It would be so awful.
We came through this little passage. Oh, and then we turned here. And squeezed through. No. This is a dead end, Becky.
Oh. We're just getting worse and worse off all the time.
Listen. Listen real hard. I'm going to try calling. Hello? Hello out there?
Oh, don't do it again, Tom. It's too horrid.
It is horrid, but I better, Becky. They might hear us, you know. Hello? Hello, somebody? We're lost. Lost.
Oh, Tom. Tom. Why did we ever leave the others? No, we can never get out of this awful place.
It's all my fault, Becky. But try to be brave and try to have hope. We've got to keep moving. We'll find a way out. Just keep moving. Keep moving, Becky, and hang on to my hand.
Go any further. I'm too tired. I'm so hungry, too. How many days have we been in here?
Oh, I don't know, Becky. I don't know.
Becky, can you bear it if I tell you something?
What, Tom? What's wrong?
This tiny little piece is our last candle.
Oh, Tom! Tom!
Please don't cry, Becky.
Tom! Tom, they'll miss us and hunt for us.
Yes, they will. Certainly they will.
Maybe they're hunting for us now, Tom.
Well, I reckon maybe they are. I hope they are.
When would they miss us, Tom?
When they get back to the boat, I reckon.
It might be dark then, and they wouldn't notice. The candle's going out. Oh, Tom, it's so dark. It's so horribly dark.
I'll shout once more, Becky.
I couldn't stand it.
Oh, please, Becky, be brave. Hello! Hello, help us! It's Tom and Becky, and we're lost! Oh, it's no use. They don't hear us.
Tom, I saw a flicker of light down that passage.
It's them. They're coming. We'll be all right now, Becky. Hold my hand. It's right around this bend. It's somebody with a candle. They're coming closer and closer on the level below. I'll reach down. Becky, there's a cross here on the wall. And the person coming toward us is Injun Joe.
They're found. Tom and Becky have been found. They're found.
Go on, Tom. Tell me what happened. Did Injun Joe see you?
No, we ducked right out of sight. But, Huck, that's the place. That's the place where the treasure is.
Oh, forget about the treasure. Tell me how you got out of the cave.
Well, we weren't going to follow Injun Joe, I can tell you. I took my kite string, tied one end to Becky, and went looking. And guess what I found?
What?
A speck of daylight. It was a hole. I poked my head through it, and I saw the Mississippi River.
No.
We climbed out and just sat there, crying we were so glad. We hailed a passing skiff, and do you know where we were?
Where?
5 miles down the river.
Golly.
Huck, only I know where that hole is. And it's just a kite string's length from the treasure. It's all ours, Huck.
Shh, shh. Here comes Judge Thatcher.
How are you feeling, Thomas?
Oh, fine, Judge. How's Becky?
All rested and well. And she thinks you're the biggest hero in the world.
Golly.
Well, nobody will get lost in that cave anymore.
Why?
Because I had its big door sheathed with boiler iron and triple locked. And I've got the keys.
No!
Hey, what's the matter, boy? You're pale as a ghost.
Oh, Judge! Injun Joe's in that cave!
Tom! I'm scared.
Oh, we're not going to get lost this time. I've got a kite string right to the hole by the river.
Yeah, but Injun Joe...
Oh, how you talk, Huck Finn. You know they found his body all starved and dead by the mouth of the cave.
No, I mean his ghost. Wouldn't his ghost want to hover around all this money?
There's a cross here, Huck. Ghosts don't go near crosses.
Yeah, you're right, Tom. Let's keep digging.
Okay.
I guess we can take the money.
Here.
Now.
There. Gee, there's bushels of it, Huck. We're rich, rich as kings.
Yeah.
Why, if we go on a budget, each of us could draw as much as a dollar a day.
A piece?
Sure. Why, Huck, that's more than a school teacher makes.
Now, why do you suppose fate give us this fortune, Tom?
Why, Huck, it's simple to figure. It's because we've been such good boys.
That was our favorite story impression of Mark Twain's Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee dramatized and directed the program, as always, and Miss Ruth Gordon of the Broadway stage chose Tom Sawyer as her own favorite story. Next week, the strange romance of a condemned criminal and an English duchess who meet and fall in love, entirely in their dreams. It's Georges Dumouriez's dark and mysterious Peter Ibbotson, chosen as the favorite story of Miss Merle Oberon. Our stars will be the screen's little minister, John Beale, and his wife, Helen Craig. I'll be here to help tell you the story of Peter Ibbotson on next week's favorite story. We hope you'll be listening.